the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
The Bible talks about that quite clearly in areas of the Exodus. It talks about the Exodus being a symbol of going through the Red Sea and being baptized, coming out of imprisonment, out of slavery, into new life. And in this passage in Titus, Paul writes about the invisible and gives a hint towards the visible. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So you see the hint there towards washing and cleansing and immersion, whom he poured out on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Who was it that was being spoken about in Acts? The Savior, the one who gives salvation to everyone, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So in that little couple of verses, the description of being saved, something very internal happening. But I think baptism is about demonstrating externally what that is.
Thanks, Clive. Clear and simple. Saz, can you match that? Your turn next.
I can't match that. No.
No. One question each.
Yeah. You had another question, but okay.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Well, your second question was: is baptism essential for faith? And you said, no, it's a sign. Is that the answer? Thank you.
Oh, it's going to be like that, is it? Okay. All right.
Typical lawyers.
He's a lawyer. Oh
yes.
No.
Stick to the point, please. Saz. The question for you, for those churches that believe in infant baptism, do they then feel their congregation should be rebaptized when they personally make a commitment to follow Jesus? If not, what do they think happens to those baptized children who later as adults turn from Christ? We've given you, I think, the most difficult question, Saz.
Actually, if you want the simple answer, what was it? Read out
the first part
of the question again, because there's two parts to this.
For those churches that believe in infant baptism, do they then feel their congregation should be rebaptized when they personally make a commitment to follow Jesus?
No. No, they don't. If you think of the Presbyterians and the Anglicans, so I think they're probably the two main types of churches that carry out infant baptism, they both say no. I would say that the Presbyterians are probably a bit more strict on this. So what happens after? You know, if you baptise an infant, what happens after they're baptised? And this is where it gets interesting, particularly for the Presbyterians. So they say this: God is at work in baptism, but a person does not become saved. So even though the Anglicans and the Presbyterians baptize infants, they say it is a sign of God being at work. It is a sign of God's grace. The Anglicans say baptism confirms a state on the person of a possibility of salvation and rebirth as an infant. They also say something which I quite like, which is that it also blesses the infant with divine grace. And the Presbyterians say that it's a sign that God is at work. So when people are old enough to make their decision, then they enter into salvation. But they don't have to then get baptized again, because the baptism has already happened. I like to think of it as, it might be a long time to us, but the God of eternity already knows that that person has been baptized. So no, they don't baptize. If a person then goes on as an adult and rejects the faith of their parents or whoever's brought them to be baptized, they would say they are not saved, but God is at work. And what I really like, though I don't hold this position myself, I didn't get my children baptized. My daughter was baptized as a believer last month when she was 14. We didn't baptize them as babies. they have an idea of a spiritual journey that somebody, that God is at work through the whole person's whole life. So we mustn't give up hope. If someone's been baptized when they were younger, we may not live to see what God does with that person. But what I like is that, and it's something I think we can learn from, even though I don't hold that same position, is that there is a journey to go on to get closer to God. And we don't know how God will deal with people. We pray that they will come to an independent decision on their own. So I don't know if that answers the question.
I think that does. Thank you. Simon, again, I've got two linked questions for you. In the verse that we read at the end of Matthew, Jesus commands his disciples to baptize people, but he never says, you must be baptized. So why do we talk in terms of Christians being commanded to be baptized, firstly? And is there any evidence that Jesus' disciples were being baptized?
Okie dokie. So I think for that first set of questions, we're coming out saying, and all mainline churches are saying, that baptism's really important. Regardless of whether that is, as we looked last week, whether that's infant baptism or believer's baptism. So certainly throughout the whole history of the church, you've got all of the churches saying baptism's something really, really important. Where you go to in scripture for that, I think would be that exact same passage from the end of Matthew. So, and then reading that as, that's the thing that the church is to do. So reading from the disciples to, that's our job to go do. So the Great Commission of making disciples, teaching, baptizing, that's something for the church, not church now, not just for those original disciples. We might also go to Peter at the end of his sermon in Acts chapter 2, the conclusion being for those who've been cut to the heart, what do they do next? Believe and be baptized. Well, I thought we could potentially even see it in the passage we just read from Philip on the road. Starting from that scripture in Isaiah, he wants to explain the good news to the Ethiopian eunuch. And evidently, by the time they've been traveling along for some period of time, baptism's come up, such that at some point the eunuch goes, hey, we're passing water. It's about time I got baptized. So Philip's explanation of the gospel concluded in something about baptism. So that would kind of be some of the things I might say in response to that.
Thanks very much, Simon. That's great.
Do you want to do number two?
Number two was, yes, is there any evidence that Jesus' disciples were baptized?
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. So that's a clear one, although it might raise some curious things for you. So you might want to think, when did Peter get baptized? Or when did Andrew get baptized? Nobody in our questions has mentioned John the Baptist at all. So famous for baptism, John the Baptist. Baptism kind of starts with him as a thing to do. It certainly has a new meaning by the time we're popping up at the close of the Gospels and the beginning of Acts, but an interesting one to ponder. So,
thanks.
Okay.
So now we've got some time to share some experiences. I was actually looked in an old Bible before I came out, and I found this card that says baptismal service October the 31st 1971, Christopher Nash, and the verse I was given, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Probably should have paid more heed to that one. So I was 13 at the time, and I think looking back on it, the baptisms that probably have meant most to me are perhaps not my own, nearly, 47 years ago, but seeing my own children be baptized here under that table some years ago. One of the comments that came up after last week, following Richard's sermon, was this. I disagree with you, Richard. I was born and raised as a Presbyterian. I was baptized at birth, not because of my faith and belief, but because my parents believed, and they committed to raising me in the love and knowledge of Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. At the age of 17, I was confirmed because I believed. However, I believe that baptism is when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and for me that happened when I was 9 or 10 years of age. So that was someone else's experience, one of our congregation. So, anyone else got anything they would like to share about their experiences of baptism that they might be able to encourage us with? And somebody's going to run around with a microphone too.
I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but let's try it. I actually have been baptized twice. I was baptized as a baby and brought up in a Christian family. And I think in my teens, I believed in God. I think I went through a bit of a period of searching, trying to work out what that meant, where God was. I felt I wanted to be a Christian. But I hadn't understood grace, and I hadn't grasped what God had actually done for me. I did all of the things that you're supposed to do to become a Christian. I said all the prayers, I went to the right services, and I got confirmed as a Christian. But I didn't find God that way, as I hoped that I had, or that I would be able to. That wasn't the fault of the church, that was myself not grasping the nature of grace that comes from God. It doesn't come from our own acts of religion, searching for God. A few years later, I hit a point of desperation and cried out to God, and God saved my life in here and now and in the eternal. And I discovered Jesus. Discovered grace. I found God come running to me, regardless of what I'd done, and through no effort of my own, and that a relationship with God was real. And at that point, I thought, "What do I do? I've been baptized, I've been confirmed, and now this is something that really means something. I really want to mark that." So then became a slightly tricky couple of years in which I was asking to be baptized again, as somebody who'd already been baptized and confirmed. You know, you're right in saying, you know, you shouldn't really be baptized a second time, it's not necessary, but in my case I felt it was right. And on my fifth re-birthday, if you like, I actually did get baptized again. In the church that I was then part of, which was a Pentecostal church. And I'd invited some friends along, and I was able to kind of make that public statement in front of the church, in front of my friends and family, and just say, you know, this is something that I've grasped for myself, and this is a sign that something's changed. This is a sign that, you know, the old me has died and been raised with Jesus. And that to me was very important, and it wasn't just a sign of religion at that point, it was a sign of God has done something miraculous in my life.
Thanks very much, that's great. And for those of you who've seen a baptism here, you will see people, before they go down to the water, coming up on the platform and telling us about their own experience of faith. So it's very much a public affirmation of what they believe, which is fantastic. Yes.
Saz earlier mentioned a Sunday where we had a few young people be baptised, some youth, and one of the things I do is I help with Kids for Christ on Sunday morning, and we had a very great session, as we often do with them, after the baptisms. But I was chatting to one young boy about it, and he said to me that Sunday, seeing and hearing the testimonies of those, was it four or five young people being baptized and declaring their faith, he said that when I get baptized, I'm going to mention this day because that was so important for him. So that was a really real encouragement for him, and likewise for me, seeing him be impacted by baptism in that way. Essentially, was baptism doing what it was designed to do, and then being that outworking, that testimony, that sign. And for this boy, when he said when he gets baptized, that day is going to stick in his mind because it's a significant day in his journey, seeing other people declare their faith.
Thank you. I don't know, in the church I grew up in, where I was baptized, when the after the baptisms, sometimes they used to say, and if anyone else wants to be baptized, I've never seen it happen, although I've heard of cases where it has. So that's true. Picking up on what Andrew said, inspired by seeing baptisms. Yes.
Just a really quick, light-hearted little thing. Back in April, we went to this amazing church down in Polzeath called Tube Station, which is right on the sea, and it's a surfers church. Loads of surfers go, and there on Easter Day, it was absolutely packed with all sorts of people, lots of surfers. And they were doing baptisms at the end of the service. The church is at the top of the beach. There's plenty of salty water. At the end of the service, the ministers said, if anyone wants to come for baptism, we're going to do it. Just come with us. We'll go down into the sea. And then it got to the end, and the minister said, okay, we've had three people now come forward. Just a word of warning, if you do want to come, you'll need to put your wetsuit on, because believe me, if I push you into this water without a wetsuit, I really will be pushing you closer to heaven. But yeah, they took these three people, amazing young people, into the sea, into the waves, and baptized them in the ocean on an amazing sunny day.
Yes, we think ours is a public declaration, but... Is that Karen?
Kind of, I guess, reiterating what Andrew said, for me, I love baptism services. They just encourage me in what God is doing in other people's lives. I love hearing the testimonies. I kind of think it would be great if we could hear more testimonies. And I'm a bit of I like a bit of a party, and I always think baptisms are a time for a party, because it's just great celebrating what God is doing and how people are brave enough to stand and make a public declaration and invite their friends along. And I think baptisms are really encouraging.
Thank you, Karen.
So like Chris, I was baptized at 13. My family didn't go to church at the time, and one of my parents at the time told me it was one of the worst evenings of their life. They didn't enjoy it at all. And so for probably another 17 years, I was almost angry at God that I'd been baptized. I knew it meant something to me, but it caused me a lot of grief. And then in the church we were at in Wiltshire, when I was 30, there was some baptisms of some young people who were about a similar age, 12, 13. And God really spoke to me and said, you see that you had to be baptized then, because that is when you were mine. I saved you. I rescued you. And it was an incredibly strong experience of Jesus claiming me for himself. But it took a lot of years for me to really, truly, even though it meant a lot at the time, I almost then regretted it. But then actually God said, no, I rescued you just at that right time. So, yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
At an Open Doors conference earlier this year, a Pakistani minister shared with us how in his country, if somebody comes to ask to be baptized, they are asked, are you ready to die for Jesus? And I suppose that is a real possibility. If they say, yes, I am ready, they know that it might happen. And I think in this country that will be translated as, are you ready to be ridiculed for Jesus? Are you ready to lose your job? Which is becoming an increasing possibility.
Thank you. Yeah, Megan.
Yeah, I was baptized when I was 16. And I chose to do it then because it was literally 2 weeks before my whole family moved from Sheffield to Cornwall. And that was the first time that I had experienced God telling me that there was something I had to do. that when my parents said, "Are you happy to go?" I had to say yes. And my baptism was a chance for me to stand up in front of a group of friends who didn't understand why I had said yes and say, "I think God is calling me to this." And that was a great moment, but it was also something that then, in the 2 years that followed in Cornwall, which were quite frankly horrific and just awful, I would come back to that moment of saying, "Do you still believe what you said when you stood on that stage and said God has called you to be here?" So for me, my baptism was great in that moment, but was also a really important reminder of, do you still believe what you came up here and said?
Well, I think we're probably going to draw to a close at that point. And let's pray before what's happening next. Nick is going to lead us in communion. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the experiences that many of us have had of baptism. And we thank you that when we were baptized, we were saying, "We want to follow you, we want to obey you. We know that we belong to you." And Heavenly Father, we just pray that we will continue to experience that same confidence in the week ahead, that we belong to you and that we can trust you as we did when we were baptized. We can follow you as we sought to do when we were baptized.